Cactus Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Older and wiser with Age-Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyireland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
Okay, well, welcome back. Listen to the Wednesday afternoon show with Laura and Archie, and we've got with us Jack Weathercop from who's an Age UK young volunteer, and he's with us here this afternoon to tell us all about that. So, Jack, where did the idea of the Young Volunteer Project come from?
So the Age UK Isle of Wight Young Volunteers Project was set up about 2.5 years ago by Helen Lewis, who now runs the engagement part of Age Friendly Ireland. It's been hugely developed. At the beginning, it was mainly just doing one-to-one visiting of older people, and we aim to try and get mainly people within the 14 to 18 age group. Now it's become people doing activity clubs, people helping with digital, and also people doing things like telephone befriending and group activities as well.
So anyone between 14 and 18 could become a volunteer?
Absolutely, yeah. 14 to 16 is within a supervised activity, and 16 onwards people can go out on their own and do it in their time that suits them.
And you're training people up, aren't you?
Yes, so essentially when they come in, we'll make sure that they feel, you know, confident first of all to go out and that they're ready to basically experience what could be sometimes quite difficult situation for them, and we'll always go with them on the first few visits, check everything's okay, check that they're enjoying it, and check that they'll get something out of it as well.
Have you got a huge bank of volunteers? Or
we definitely did have. Last year we had 25 volunteers. Where the age limit sort of is 14 to 18, we routinely 18-year-olds quite often to university or college or going on to do your job, or actually just becoming a Age UK volunteer, a general Age UK volunteer. But recruitment's gone really well so far this year. We're scheduled to speak at most of the major sort of big schools on the Isle of Wight. Hopefully we'll get those sort of numbers again, at least.
And you run training courses for them, presumably, or is it just one-to-one training with other volunteers, or mentoring, or all three?
We definitely do mentoring. 100% they're always, you know, happy to come and contact me. They contact me by phone, email, if they want to pop into the office. Quite often people come in, say hello and have a catch-up. We put them on any training courses they might be interested in as well. So if there is volunteer, we have three-hour volunteer training sessions, which they're able to go on. But also, if there's any other thing that they're interested in having training on, whether it be safeguarding or working with maybe people that have dementia, we're able to offer that as well through many of our partner agencies, which is really useful.
Can you tell us then, so for example, you mentioned one-to-one, so you can go to someone's house, cup of tea, coffee. Talk to us about the digital side, because that's kind of something which is such a wonderful idea with your intergenerational friendships, isn't it? You know, you've got the younger people coming along.
Absolutely. So the digital side, I work really closely with Daniel Taylor, who's been on the show before, our digital lead, and they work in either a one-to-one, so they might be going around showing someone how to use an iPad, how to use a computer or a tablet, or they might be actually supporting Dan with one of his drop-ins or one of his sort of groups, and it can be quite nice and refreshing for an older person to see a younger person giving up a bit of their time to teach them the skills that they have that the older person might need a bit of development in. So that's a really, you know, a really good intergenerational activity.
Yeah, and once you do that, you're opening up someone's world, aren't you? Be it with email, which is a simple tool for communication, or social media, if someone wants to kind of view the world via the internet.
Absolutely. Those two things have become the sort of go-to ways of connecting, I think, now. And if older people are able to access those, and that's something they're interested in accessing, then it's something we're able to help with. And using the experience of the young volunteers and what they can offer us is priceless, really.
Can you tell us about the telephone conversation?
Absolutely.
Scheme?
Yeah, so we also, as well as one-to-one befriending, for people that may not want to go into people's homes or can't spend as much time maybe per week, they might just want to give someone a phone call, see how they're getting on, have a chat about what could be the football, could be X Factor, could be politics, and we'll try and pair them up with someone with similar interests, and then they just have a phone conversation when best suits them. It solves the sort of social aspect. It's not quite the same, obviously, as seeing someone face to face, but it's lovely to be able to pick up the phone and speak to someone that you know actually cares about what you're getting up to and what you're doing. And it can be a really beneficial relationship.
And are you able to sort of help? Some of our older folk are not too good with kind of modern technology. Are you able to use volunteers to assist them with that? Because I was thinking maybe things like, you know, FaceTime and Skype and stuff like that, which they could find really useful if they were able to use them.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the digital sort of scheme that Dan runs, that does everything from your basic how to set up a computer, how to turn on a tablet, to how to use FaceTime, how to use Skype, going even into Microsoft Office and things like that. So there's a real sort of breadth of activities, and you find that generally young people are fantastically skilled in technical things such as that. So it's
presumably they have to be vetted in some way.
Yes, yeah, definitely. We'll often sort of, what will happen is Dan will come in and speak to them and see what is their skill base, what can they do, what can they offer, what are they willing to offer time-wise as well, and then try and match them up with someone that has those needs. So it might be that we maybe give them the easier things to start with, see how they get on, but then over time they can become a fully fledged digital volunteer that can offer pretty much every service.
Brilliant. And can volunteers work as a pair, for example? Do they always go on their own, or can they work with others?
Absolutely. That's a really good question. I get that quite a lot when I go into schools. We've had a couple now that have gone as pairs. We actually had two working in a care home together, putting on activities for the local residents. It's good because some people actually will want the confidence of a friend to go with them, and they find it actually more enjoyable to, rather than have the pressure of just one-on-one, they might be in a group situation, or maybe even two of them to sort of one older person, so it can sort of share the conversation, which can be really nice and quite reassuring for people that haven't been in that situation before.
Okay, thanks, Jack. We've got to go for a break now, but we'll be back shortly and we'll be talking to you a lot more. And welcome back to listen to Vex Radio on 104.6 FM and online. And that was the amazing, wonderful Supertramp. Brilliant band. Can't get enough of Supertramp. They are superb. But we can't play any more of them, unfortunately. But we've got a much more interesting thing to talk about now, and that's with Jack, who's a young volunteer with Age UK, who organised it. I should say. He's not just the young volunteer. He is the organiser. He is the number one man. And you were telling us about some of the things that your volunteers got up to, Jack. Can you expand on that for us a bit?
Yeah, definitely. So as well as one-to-one and telephone befriending, we've got a couple of volunteers that go in and actually put on games in care homes. We now offer dog walking as well, so we're looking at maybe getting some of the animal management students that is now becoming quite popular on the Isle of Wight, getting them out and doing people's dog walking for them, because it's a thing that we're getting a lot of demand for. And another big one actually for us is small shopping tasks and small tasks around the home. And we're not talking about big things. It might be picking up a loaf of bread and a bit of milk that might have been forgotten off the weekly online shop. But it really can make someone's life a lot easier and a lot safer, because they're not having to make that journey, which sometimes can be, you know, half a mile long.
Yeah.
And can easily be achieved by one of our volunteers going out and just popping the stuff in for them, really.
Oh, it's such a heartwarming thing, isn't it? You're intergenerational, because I don't know what it is with our society, but I feel that in the last couple of decades, we've lost that. You know, kids kind of fly the nest, and then the older generations amongst us kind of just get parked as life cracks on for everybody else.
The traditional sort of family model, everyone staying around the same area, it's sort of fallen. A lot of people go away to university, if not they go away for jobs in different places. So the traditional model, people staying in the same place, maybe doing similar jobs year after sort of year, generation after generation, means that families are quite often more spread out. And what we find is a lot of the people actually that we're going out to help, their family may not live on the island, they might actually not have any family, but quite often it's that they've moved away, and that sort of key contact has gone, which can a lot of the time mean that the people feel quite lonely and quite isolated and just need a bit of help.
Yeah.
It's so heartbreaking, the concept of isolation, isn't it? And the more entrenched you get in your loneliness and isolation, the harder it sometimes is, isn't it? Just to even peep your head, you know, out the front door and say, I actually do need some help. And that's what Age UK Isle of Wight is for, stepping in to say, right, okay, you've got a dog, a valuable companion, but that dog needs to be walked, and if you're not able to do it, we'll help you. It's wonderful.
I think it's a really important thing, and we were saying in the break, one of the first volunteers I ever placed was a lady up in Newport, and at the time she hadn't actually seen anyone for 5 to 6 weeks.
Oh God.
Her family contacted her by phone, but actually visibly seeing someone, she hadn't seen anyone for that length of time. So we placed her with a young volunteer, and over the next 6 months they developed a fantastic relationship. She'd do her sort of shopping for her, she'd pop in for a chat for 2 hours every week at least, she'd keep in contact on the phone, and actually even up to the point where the lady went into hospital, she'd still visit them, she still kept staying in contact, she brought a presence even up until around Christmas time. So that was a fantastic thing to see, and hugely beneficial for both of them, I think, as well, because they had a fantastic relationship.
So if it's not a daft question, and please tell me if it is, but If you've got somebody in that position who's isolated, you've got no family, you've got no friends, nobody to talk to, how do you find them?
So what we find quite often is that their family will actually refer them.
Mm.
Especially if the family live away, it's quite often that they'll say, look, we've maybe come down to visit. We think now maybe it might be a mum, dad, it might be a grandma, granddad. They need a little bit more help. Sometimes people self-refer. They actually just pick up the phone and say, I really need some help and I would like some conversation, or what do you do? What's on for me in my local area? They're probably the two most common. I haven't actually had many, I don't think, from my point of view, where it's been neighbours. It generally is family, or they might be referred by actually another person that's come to Age UK for help, or another volunteer that works for us out in the community, because we've got a lot of volunteers. We've got 650 volunteers out in the community now. Or actually another major way is through referrals, so we get referrals through our care and community navigators as well, and they'll actually go out and find these people and say, can you find a volunteer for them, because I think it'd be really beneficial.
So Jack, then tell our lovely listeners at home how to get in contact with Age UK Isle of Wight to sort something out and to assist.
Absolutely. So if you are interested in becoming either a young volunteer or needing some help or wanting some help for a member of your family, please feel free to contact me. If you find phone through on our number, which is 01983 525282, and ask the main switchboard for Jack or any of the GNS team, they'll be pointing you in the right direction. Just basically we need a little bit of information about what your situation is, what you want from us, or if you're an aspiring volunteer, how you'd like to help and when you can do it. We'll get back in touch with you, and we're really grateful for any help we can get, and also really grateful for anyone that reaches out for help, because we will be able to assist you.
Are there any areas where you find it difficult to find volunteers for a particular task, particular job to do?
It's strange, actually. For young volunteers, we particularly struggle around the sort of Ventnor area. It's the only area which I've struggled to pick volunteers up, and I still can't quite put my finger on why. The West Wight can be difficult, where it's quite spread out, got a lot of smaller communities and quite a big place. We're generally quite oversubscribed with volunteers for Ventnor and Newport and Ryde. They tend to be our most popular, but they are the most densely populated in terms of our need as well. So it does sort of work both ways. But Ventnor's always been a tricky one for us, and out in the West Wight as well, where there is quite a lot of need, and we don't have the amount of young volunteers that I'd like.
Right. We need a drive. We need a publicity campaign, don't we?
Yeah
absolutely. I mean, we've been going into schools. We do leaflets, Facebook pages, Twitter pages. We're pretty active, and we're trying to get as many people in as we can. So hopefully it's something that through word of mouth as well as through sort of promotional means will grow over time. And I'm very hopeful that'll be the case.
So for young volunteers out there, for, you know, families listening who think, oh, I've got a young person who would really benefit from this, or if we have any youngsters out there listening, thank you for listening, by the way, what can they achieve from doing this? Number one, kind of academically or that, but then, and what have you seen kind of relationship-wise as well?
So to relationship-wise, I always like to start with, because I think that's the best thing that people get out of it. You know, social skills, being able to communicate with a person with a completely maybe different background, of course a different generation to you. They're going to have loads of skills, loads of life experiences, and loads of fantastic stories, really. It's also a great opportunity to maybe go outside your comfort zone. When it comes to volunteering, people often volunteer in things that they're already very good at. This gives you an opportunity to try something that you may never have tried before, which would be working with someone that could be quite lonely, could be quite isolated, and you could be a real outlet, a real positive outlet for them. I think that's really beneficial. From an academic point of view, it can count towards the Duke of Edinburgh. It's fantastic to put on a CV. Our last cohort last year, two of them have now gone on to medical school, and they've both written to me saying it was hugely beneficial that they were part of the volunteering, because that went on their CV, which then got them into to the medical school. So that's nice to know as well.
Well, it shows a side of a person's character that you probably wouldn't see on a CV normally. It's not the sort of thing you would expect to find, I guess, if you're an employer.
I think so, and also if you're going into that sort of profession as well, you're going to work with people from all ages, and to be able to show you have those skills at such a young age, these are people that are 17, 18 years old, is fantastic, really, I think.
Are there ever any jobs that your volunteers are a bit reluctant to get involved in, or do you find that they're pretty willing to have a go at anything?
It's a strange, when they come in, we always ask them what they want to do, first of all, and some people will be far more interested in sort of the group work or maybe the telephoning than the one-to-one. One-to-one, either people really want to do it, you'll find, or they'll be quite sort of, I don't want to say worried, but not forward about it, you know.
They'll be more anxious.
A bit more anxious, that's a perfect word. Over time, you find that if they give it a go, they'll usually enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we will always encourage it. But if they're really against it, that's absolutely fine. There's so many things that you can do and so many opportunities. And we're grateful for any help people can give us. So it's a really, really good thing for us, really.
OK, cheers, Jack. We've got to go to another break now, but we'll be back with you shortly. Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Jack this afternoon, who's the organiser for Age UK for the Young Volunteers organisation. Jack, we were talking a bit about some of the success stories that you could illustrate for us during the break, so we'd like to do that. I'm sure there are many. I'm sure there are hundreds of them.
Absolutely, yes. I'll just give you a couple. A gentleman called Josh came to me about a year and a half ago now. It's 12 weeks he needed to do a volunteering for his Duke of Edinburgh Award, so he needed 12 hours. And he really wanted to set up a sort of activities club within a care home setting, specifically focused around sport. So we got in touch with a care home in Ryde, and they said they were happy to have Josh along to see how it went on a sort of trial basis. He started doing it. He got about 6 for his first club. He was doing netball, bowls and bowling. Now we're a year and a half on. He's getting at least 10 every single session. He's completed his Duke of Edinburgh well over a year ago, and he's still going in week after week, offering this service for the people in the care home for free.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is fantastic. And the lady, again, who I spoke a little bit about earlier, called Charlotte, she was helping a lady up in Newport. And that essentially, that came from her grandparents. She didn't actually really know her grandparents. So she wanted the experience of working with an older person, as well as for university. That was something she was interested in as well. So we partnered up with a lady up in Newport who hadn't seen her family for quite some time, hadn't seen anyone for quite some time, and they hit it off straight away. Originally the idea was that she'd go for an hour a week every Friday. By the end she was going for 2 hours, 2.5 hours sometimes a week every Friday.
Yeah.
They stayed in touch even when the lady went into hospital. She visited her literally, you know, days before sadly this lady passed away. Mm-hmm. And it really shows how strong that bond can become between a young volunteer and the person they're visiting. It's often not just something to fulfill a sort of college or a university application. It becomes a real friendship, and even in some cases almost family.
Well, I think it's one of the beauties of volunteering for anything, really. It's not a job. You're not getting paid for it. You don't have to do it. You do it because you want to do it, and you're bound to forge some pretty strong relationships.
Yeah.
If you're going with that attitude, really, aren't you?
I think that's it. I think you hit the nail on the head if you're not getting paid for it. So the motivation has to come from you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not coming from you, no one's going to force you to do it. No. I'm not going to make you turn up if you, after 1 week, say, Jack, I really dislike doing this, I don't want to come anymore, then that's your decision, you know. But to keep doing it for month after month, every week, reliable, looking after someone, it's a big commitment.
Sure.
And to see the amount of commitment these young people put in, some of them 14, 15 years old, is astounding, really.
But hearing all this, there might well be some folk out there who are older than 18, who have perhaps been inspired to try and help out, maybe with dog walking or other tasks.
Of course.
There's room for them as well, I guess, not within your
absolutely
branch, but
yes. So Age UK has a huge volunteer base, and it sits within something called the Good Neighbour Scheme, which is managed by Marco Sullivan. You've got a fantastic team, Alison, Cara and Fiona. They basically will take on any volunteer over the age of 18 that wants to go out and support people in their local area. We DBS check everyone that comes in to volunteer with us, which is a brilliant thing. I mean, it's quite expensive, I think, to get a DBS check now. You come in for a short interview, provide a couple of references, say what you want to do, when you want to do it. And then we get you out there in the community helping people, which I think is the end goal for everyone and what they want to do, really.
Yeah, and that's it makes the volunteer not only feel, you know, absolutely wonderful and altruistic, but it gives you a sense of purpose, doesn't it? Just to get out the house yourself. Mm. And going back to the time thing, I think also, you know, some volunteers or potential perspectives might be put off, and they might go, well, I don't have 4 hours a week. And that's the thing, aren't you? You're saying you can come for an hour.
Absolutely.
You can do a telephone call. It doesn't have, you don't have to spend all your time volunteering. Every little helps.
That's it. We've got a lady, she's gone off to university now. So again, she started as a young volunteer. She's now just become a GNS volunteer. She comes back once a month from university and visits for an hour. She visits the lady that she used to go to all the time. But it's still someone to see. It's still a friendly face, and it's still someone to catch up to and a visit to look forward to. So it can be a real beneficial thing for not just the volunteer, but also the older person.
You also run memory groups, don't you? Can you tell us about that?
Super. So yes, we run 3 memory groups now, based in Lake, Ryde and Newport. And some of our young volunteers over the period of the project have been helping out at those. They're mainly to support people, as the group suggests, that have problems with their memory, quite often dementia related. And it's been really beneficial, actually, to see younger people go in and help older people. And I think the older people really actually enjoy them, having them at the sessions. Mm-hmm. We had our youngest volunteer, who's 14, go into the Ryde group over the half term and over the end of the summer holidays. And they can't wait for him to go back again at Christmas. So it's great to hear those sort of reviews and hear what a difference he's able to make in even a really small amount of time, which is great.
And you also run Active Network social clubs. And what happens at those then?
So sadly, the Active Network social clubs have they've been sort of cancelled now. The funding for those came from a charity partner over the last year for transport.
Yeah.
But the good news is we're now introducing teapot clubs that have sat within GNS before. We're inviting everyone from the Active Network social clubs into those. We're going to keep those going. May hopefully make those even more busy with the people that previously went to the Active Network clubs.
Yeah.
And there's another thing that volunteers, if you're interested in.
Come on, where did Teapot Club come from?
Teapot Club actually came from a volunteer that wanted to just invite people into her house for a cup of tea.
Ah, fair
enough. So instead of going out and meeting at a general venue, she said, well, I've got a big enough front room, why don't you all just come around here?
That's nice.
So that's a real community event, and I think that's why they're so popular. And hopefully it's something that more people want to do, and also have people to support them as well, because you might want to take it on, but you might want a bit of help, and hopefully we can come in there as well. So that's something maybe for the future.
Yeah.
Wonderful. There's so much to learn, isn't there, intergenerationally?
Well, that's right. I mean, we've been focused on helping the elderly, but actually the volunteers themselves must get a huge amount of benefit from this.
Absolutely. I think when you put that time in and that effort in, it's not just the feeling you get from it afterwards. It's like you said before, the relationships you make with a person can be so positive and have a positive impact on your life as well, because hopefully you're getting skills from them, you're getting enjoyment from spending time with them. I think that's the main thing, is you're actually having a good time going to visit them, which makes you want to keep going.
Do you ever do sort of collective events, you know, do you get volunteers and elderly folk together? I don't know, barn dances, socials? Actually,
yes, we have coffee mornings once a month where all our volunteers come together. We've tried actually with the young volunteers and the older people to get bigger group meetings, but it can often be quite difficult because most of the young volunteers go out to the people's homes, often because of their mobility or memory issues stopping them from actually going out and about. But maybe it's something we'll try again in the future, but a lot of the time it's just trying to get young volunteers and people mixed together when we can get them together, which is the main thing for us.
I think what's most important then, Jack, because coming to the end of our hour,
we're coming up to the top of the hour, yeah.
Give us those contacts again, because it's really important that we get the word out there and get you some young volunteers.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in becoming a young volunteer, please give me a call on 01983 525282. You'll come to the main switchboard and you just ask for Jack or ask for young volunteers and they'll put you through to me. If you'd prefer, we have a Facebook page, which is Age Friendly Ireland. You can leave a message on there, or actually maybe even get in touch via Twitter. We've got Age UK Isle of Wight Twitter. And we've got a website as well with a form for people that would be interested in becoming volunteers of any age. So any of the Age UK Isle of Wight website, Twitter, Facebook, or Age Friendly Ireland Facebook would be superb.
Brilliant.
But please, yeah, if you are interested, it's a fantastic opportunity.
Well, thanks for coming in, Jack. It's been quite an inspiring little afternoon.
It has, hasn't it? I'm definitely going to be doing some volunteering.
Yeah. That's positive. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, you've been listening to the Wednesday afternoon show with Laura and Archie and me, John. Laura, what have we got on next week?
Oh, next week is 24th, isn't it? So we've got the bus shelter are coming in.
Oh.
Yeah, so really inspirational island charity. And then for the remaining 2 hours, us, John.
We'll just warble,
you and
shall
me.
We? We'll just chat and we'll warble.
Yeah.
And have a lovely time. We always have a lovely time.
We do.
Okay, thanks very much. You've been listening to the Wednesday afternoon show. We're coming up to the news now. And I hope you all tune in again next week.
Older and wiser with Age-Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyisland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.